Okay, we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay.
This is Board Time Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2:30.
Okay.
Okay, we have minutes. Jennifer completed minutes for both August 27th
and 3 September. I've gone over them both, and they both have errors that need to be corrected. In the August 27th, and in the middle of the page, this is action. Is moved by Barnes to keep the car allowance at $700. We all voted unanimously, and I don't think that's the case. I think I voted against that. We need to make sure that that's accurate. And on the September 23 minutes, it says there's no mention of the decision that we decided to, that this is the last year that we would provide $5,000 to the Woodland Chamber of Commerce, but next year we decided that we would do a maximum of matching the Vancouver Tourism Bureau. If they don't fund it, we don't fund it. If they fund up to $2,500, we would do the same.
Yeah, they'd have to go negotiate with them.
Yeah, that was decided, and it's not in here.
Okay.
Also, the second action item, or third action item on that page, there's no mention about the decision that we made that we would introduce the community collaboration resolution at this BOCC meeting in September 9 and then take it and bring it, put it on the agenda for September 16. That's not on here. So on both of these, I would just think, since these are just the obvious, they're probably the only ones, but somehow I think we better be careful to go through and re-listen to both of these and make sure we're covering them, those decision points better than we are now.
Okay.
Okay. So, not ready for approval.
We'll bring those back. Mm-hmm. Okay, the second item on the agenda was a discussion about parks construction for 2015. And yeah, Heath is in training. Axel.
Yes, sir.
There.
Maybe you could tell me what that's all about today. But
okay.
Okay.
So
well, we're trying to track Heath Henderson down, but
okay.
Bob is pretty knowledgeable on the subject. There's been a general philosophy that we don't want to build new assets if we don't have the money to maintain them. Mm-hmm. And the Metropolitan's Park District has funding issues. There he is.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Heath.
And, you know, Heath is working on building a couple parks this year, but
it's two plus a bridge, right?
Yes.
Okay.
2015, though, from a fiscal point of view, we don't believe we have the capacity to build new parks.
Right, but we and I'll let Heath speak to this, we want to have them on the shelf ready to go, a handful of them. But what you're going to see, starting with the 15-16 adopted budget, is you're going to see in every budget a package that would move general fund parks out of the MPD back. Now, we're not going to be able to fund that package, but you're going to see it in every budget, what it would cost to undo the damage of the recession, essentially. And off the top of my head, I think we're ballparking about $800,000 a year is what we're going to need to come up with to get all the parks back. But we will be able to piecemeal it because some of them are much cheaper than others. I mean, there's some that we'll get right in the adopted budget. They're only $14,000 a year. But I want to get that process embedded and moving so that we're conscious of it every time we spend money, that this is an obligation we have to fulfill at some point. And I've talked to all of you individually several times on the fact that until we fulfill that obligation, we're not going to put any further strain on the MPD financially. Because if you remember back at the board retreat, and I've given you at the charts from the board retreat, we're going to crash that fund if we're not careful. So that's essentially my pitch. It is, and then Heath will tell you why it has come to a head that we needed to reiterate that today.
Yeah, we've been
kind of under the pay-as-you-go scenario here, you know, as we've been moving forward trying to...
Which is fiscally responsible.
Yeah, and so what we've been looking at is, you know, the Parks Impact Fee Districts, you know, because those are the funds that help pay for them. And we did make the change earlier this year where we went and we... Now, the way PIF used to be collected, there was a certain portion that went for acquisition, a certain...
Now it's integrated.
Now it's integrated. So we will be able to use some of that in the future, but what we're looking at mostly right now is what we had in the past, you know, as far as what's come in. So some of the districts are very, most all the districts are very low on funds, particularly the ones that have parks in them that we need to develop. So what we're hoping to do is the ones that are kind of next, we have, right now we have two that are about probably, they could be ready in 3 to 6 months design-wise, probably closer to six. Then we have two more after that that'll take about a year to get ready. And what our hope is that we have funding enough to continue the design efforts on those projects so that we can get them ready to go, but we'll hold off on construction until we have the money, the funds available within those TIF or PIF districts.
Help me understand. We have up to the point where we made our change, where we made the PIF money available for operation and maintenance, we had it in two buckets before. And because it ran all that time, it kept filling up the bucket that says, this is for capital, buy new land. There's plenty of money in there. There's millions of dollars to buy new land for parks.
Yep.
And does that all, is that also the bucket got plenty for design and build?
No, no.
So are there three buckets? There's operation and maintenance, capital expenditure for buying, and building, design and build.
Acquisition and development.
Yeah.
There's two buckets. You have acquisition money to buy land with, and you have development money to build parks with.
PIF money can't be used for operations and maintenance.
No.
Right, but we changed it so now it can, right?
No,
it still can.
Okay, so the two buckets were those two you just described.
Right. General fund and MPD do the maintenance.
So now there's just one bucket. It can be used for either acquisition or development, but it still can't be used for maintenance. Maintenance has to be ongoing money. PIF is always one-time money.
So it's the lack of, not of the maintenance funds.
It's a combination of the maintenance funds.
So there's two problems.
It's a combination. Problems.
We have the money to build the parks. We have the money to acquire land. We don't have the money to maintain the
parks. Oh, okay. Well, that's the solution. That was the case I was hoping for.
Right. So
because that's
so
actually something we can deal with, and I'll propose that.
Say that again, Bob, because I think you said we do have money to build the parks, but we don't.
Right well, that.
And we will eventually.
We will eventually have money to build the parks, but until we have the maintenance money, we can't consider using it.
And that's where I'd like to propose an alternate idea. And that is similar, well, kind of similar, but not very much similar. The Miracle League and the Senior Softball League, those nonprofits, that came forward to do two things. They're providing all the funds to build those new ball fields and to maintain and operate them.
Nope.
Well, we're maintaining them.
We're
maintaining
them.
Okay, so they're just simply doing the capital
on
that. Okay. Well, here's the idea is that if we can line up in advance other neighborhood associations or nonprofits or some kind of organizations that would be willing to adopt a developable area, a park that or a future park, we've got already the location and it just needs to be developed, built, maintained. I would like to be able to pursue the possibility of that. And I'll work with staff here to see and what can be done in order for everybody to win that way. So can't define it now, but that's one of the I'm fishing for a more practical solution where the whole community can win on this because everybody loves parks. Mm-hmm. We have money to buy land, but and we got some money to build, but we'll need more money to finish that building and to maintain them. So I love parks. And I think there's hope there for us to be able to find a smarter way.
I don't think that you have to limit your idea to new parks, Commissioner. Certainly, if you can find organizations willing to adopt those smaller parks that are
you can free
general
it up.
Fund parks, the only thing we have to do is get them out of MPD money. Mm-hmm. However we do that, either by using general fund or finding alternative maintenance methods, mm-hmm. will get us where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is to ensure that the MPD only has to maintain the 35 parts it was designed to maintain, mm-hmm. not an additional 8 general yeah. fund parts.
And even on the MPD, you're right, that would solve both the MPD and general fund. It would help. I'd give you an opportunity to speak.
Well, Bob and I had a discussion yesterday, and due to the fact that I was involved with the little leagues throughout the area and the school districts quite a bit, and all of these schools have grounds that are in the location where you don't have parks, and so Bob and I were talking maybe for the county to go to the school district and convince them that that the land that they have there, that we could utilize that, because right now you have to have an insurance policy because they don't want to take the responsibility of somebody getting hurt on that property. Mm-hmm. So if the county and them would sign a joint agreement with the school district in order to mm-hmm. build a better mm-hmm. facility there, a better park there, mm-hmm. then you wouldn't have to go out and they would also, the maintenance, you could also do joint maintenance and everything with the school districts, provided for soccer fields for Little League. Mm-hmm. If you go out there and use it for practice for Little League, you get into all this stuff where you don't have insurance, so Little League teams are sneaking on the property and they're using them, and mm-hmm. somebody gets hurt, the school district gets sued. So mm-hmm. Bob and I were talking it would be cheaper for everybody involved mm-hmm. if we utilize the property that's already there, mm-hmm. all over Clark County. Mm-hmm.
I fully agree, not only for the schools, but for volunteers,
right.
that we have so many volunteers, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that they are covered. Yes, it may cost us more for us insurance-wise to be able to cover that, but the idea of freeing up that whole, all those resources, I don't know how often it happens, but I expect that some schools are just simply padlocking their playgrounds when they're not there. And I'm thinking, everybody loses when we do that. If it requires us to sign an agreement with them that says, when your school's not in session, that becomes a park, and that's a appropriate role of county government to do that, then by all means, let's pursue it.
All of their funny bars and their basketball courts and everything that they're... And Bob brought up a good thing. His brother lives in Hawaii. And I like the idea that where you could build outside restrooms, or you could put swimming pools in, or a lot of things that you could do that you can't do now because you don't have the money to do it, but jointly together, David.
Yeah, and if it requires some porta potties or something, we'll look into it.
Right.
So, yeah, let's pursue that. Yeah, and conversations.
And we have a pretty active, we have an active volunteer program through our volunteer coordinator,
yes,
Karen Llewellyn, and
yep.
And I know, it's one of those, it does take some effort, to coordinate these things, and I know we've been working on the kind of adopt-a-park scenario, and I think we have some where we've had caretakers in certain situations that take over a lot of that kind of ongoing maintenance,
yep.
And then with that, we've been trying to work in, within the bounds that we have of the local contracts, union contracts, to make sure that can happen. And we're certainly moving more and more in that direction all the time.
Yeah.
To some extent, the board's already, you've made a good deal of progress in working with not only schools. We have interlocal agreements with schools to share facilities. We've done it with churches. We have at least one church, I want to say it's off 99th Street, that we have provided space, and we've done a joint agreement to share space and to build improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think the mm-hmm. staff are going a long ways to mm-hmm. try and explore options to maximize these resources,
mm-hmm.
And obviously we'll need to keep going further in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which is great, and we'll keep pursuing that. That sounds like everybody would win if that be the case. In addition, we have the possibility of not only adopt a park after it's built, but the potential for adopt a park. Potential park to build it, like the experiment that we're running with the Phillida Neighborhood
mm-hmm.
Association.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing, pursuing this, is not only us internally figuring out how to do it and making interlocal agreements with those entities, but also getting the invitation and the message out to the community that they may want to organize, whether it be neighborhood mm-hmm. associations or churches or the YMCA or whatever it is out there, they
sure.
may be able to align and take and make that their project. So, yep, I'm Melissa here. Great, wonderful, thank you.
Do we have a contact for people that want to pursue that kind of thing so that we can direct them to?
You know, I think right now I would probably contact Karen Llewellyn just because she's our volunteer coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And start there and then have discussions after that. I think we've been, you know, we've been working with the Fly Neighborhood Association. I think that'll be a good opportunity kind of as a pilot mm-hmm. project to see how that yeah. goes forward.
Why don't we do this on the grid there that reflects the contents of this meeting? Let's go ahead and include a little blurb there, a written blurb that shows her contact information and a little bit of what people can do if they're interested to at least learn a little bit more about this as we navigate forward.
Okay. The parks that you would design to have ready in the event funding would become mm-hmm. available, where are those two parks located?
We have, I don't have the exact location of them, but we have Otto Brown and Sorensen Park. Were the kind of the next ones out on the list and that
because
have potential funding available.
To make this so that the effort would be economical, that if you just, rather than focusing on all the future parks that are years out, just focus on those two
right.
and identify all the groups that you might proactively reach out
mm-hmm.
to them
sure.
and, suggest.
They could even have invite fundraisers or whatever that the community can rally behind and say, we can help get these built. And so those two particular parks that would naturally be built if all the funding was there, we ought to include that here that would help people be able to focus. That's the next logical steps.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, let's not conclude that we're not going to build the parks. Instead, let's conclude that those parks are on the horizon to be built, and the task now is to find a way to get them built.
Do you use the growth criteria, Heath, in order where the population grows in an area, that's where you try to locate the park?
It is related to population. These particular parks were all set through the Metropolitan Parks District that was passed
yeah.
and the Greater Clark's Parks District, and so they've all been identified right. and purchased already.
Yeah. Okay.
I am curious. We have, related to this, some surplus property that the county owns,
mm-hmm.
and some of those may have been intended for parks in the past, but maybe there's at least one property out there that is right next door to a stormwater facility that is can be made multi-use instead or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if we were to sell a surplus property, does that put the money into a bucket that says that only can be used for capital? Or, Chris, would that put it into the flexible bucket?
It depends on where the source of the funding
right.
comes. But if it comes from grant funding, you're going to be limited to the grant source. And if it comes from TIF or PIF, you're going to be required to put it back in. Or you're going to be required to spend it consistent with the original allocation, which would be
so if it was acquisition money and you sell
yeah.
it, it's acquisition money
right.
again.
Yeah, it's
right.
limited. It'll be limited.
Okay.
If it's general fund or if it came from some other sources, long-term parks where you've met your grant conditions, you may have a lot more freedom with, and general fund, obviously, you're free
mm-hmm.
with. But
Pond Futures has a time period where
yeah.
you can get
right,
it.
And that's why I said longer-term grants
mm-hmm.
where we've held the land for a period.
If we're now, one of the things that the staff is working on is all kinds of surplus land
mm-hmm.
throughout the county, and as long as they're not encumbered by something that says it needs to go into a particular budget, if it's just simply surplus land that hasn't been designated that way, that can go into the general fund, right?
True. If that's the case,
yeah.
Well,
if
it was acquired with clean water money, you can't.
No,
that's why I said he. I think his assumption was, if it was required without restriction.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, you're right. It can go
right.
in the general fund. Most of the properties that we have that are excess tended to have been from public works, some parks, and then I don't know whatever other extra land we have.
Police or fire department land?
County fire department? I just don't know. That would be the fire district, not the Clark County.
So, wherever the excess land may be out there, if we can identify, let's say, one piece, and then 3 months from now we find another piece, that, and if it was unencumbered, if it was acquired by Public Works, and then would have to go back into the road fund, right?
Correct.
And we can't use the road fund to build parks, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a list. Parks. Road fund money was abused for a long time, and the legislature kind of let local governments get away with it for a while. And then they started ratcheting down, and then they really tightened up. And so now, yes, the answer is generally, with some exceptions that you are all aware of, road fund money, if it has to go back into the road fund.
Mm-hmm. There's, let's suppose we sold something that, hey, it's just simply extra cash that the county got because it's unencumbered, it's surplus property. We have, hundreds of surplus properties, if not more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to sell any of those, that could go into the general fund. There's nothing to prevent us from using that general fund, those general fund proceeds, for building parks, right?
You can use general fund to do anything you want.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. So, let's search. What can we sell?
We've been scrutinizing properties. I don't believe we have hundreds of parcels that are surplus to our needs.
Well, we have some tax foreclosure parcels, but a lot of the pieces that we own that will make up this hundreds category tend to be smaller and parcels that we've had trouble selling.
Okay.
So, slivers.
I'm sorry? Slivers. Are small, irregular, hard-to-market pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah. But still, it's a matter of an ongoing process for us to look and see what inventory do we hold that isn't doing anybody any good, that if we just got off the dime, we could sell that, and that would be proceeds that we could invest in this potentially. I am looking forward to that process continuing, just to make sure that we're good stewards of those resources.
As long as they're not in the way of road right-of-ways or future streets,
right.
Or
right.
Future development, that you'd end up making yourself
Commissioner Barnes just mentioned he has to hit the road at 3:05, so I think... We know what we're doing here.
Yeah, our big thing was we're having a Parks Advisory Board meeting this Friday, and we wanted to start working on the message because we started some more parks this year. We're hoping to build some more next year. We're proceeding with the design effort. It sounds like the message would be that, you know, right now the county doesn't have adequate funds to build them. We're looking for opportunities to continue that construction. And
leverage partnerships.
We're talking private-public partnerships, basically.
I don't like the term, but yes, I know what you mean.
Whatever, yeah.
So certainly the Parks Advisory Board can be given that opportunity to say, help us to think this through.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to partner to somehow form alliances and adoptions and better insurance coverages and interlocal agreements with schools? Take a look at that and see what can we do in order to make better use of the resources that are out there. That'd be great. Just one last thing related to parks. The reservation software that we had, Heath and I, you had a conversation on that. And I think we talked about it in board time, didn't we, where the understanding is the way it's supposed to work is that anyone can use any of our parks anytime for free, regardless of what they're going to do with it. If they want to take one more step that says you can, at your option, exclusively reserve it for your event, then that's an option for you to voluntarily choose. Then you can pay money to reserve it for that, and the staff will do the extra steps, take the extra steps to prepare it, sign it, that kind of thing. There's nothing that says if you're going to baptize or if you're going to have a family reunion, you have to reserve it, you have to pay. So, and you have the freedom just simply to operate it that way, correct?
Right. And I think, and Peter and I have been talking a little bit, and there's some of it has to do with what's written in the code, because there was some code language that put in that makes note of some specific events that would be considered large events, and it just so happens that baptisms
is listed as one of them. Mm-hmm. But there's also weddings. It's an example.
Right.
So
just because it's in the code doesn't mean it needs to be in our reservation system. Or
what you can do, the code does actually talk about requirements to get a permit. So I don't want to misstate what's happening. But I think you have some flexibility. And one of the things Peter and I talked about, I don't think it was ever the intent of the board to say that every time six people get together, that becomes an assembly under the ordinance and you have to get a permit. And it's fully within the language for the board to say, for example, a dozen people getting together doesn't constitute an assembly. A dozen or less, 12 or less people doesn't constitute an assembly and therefore doesn't require a permit. It doesn't guarantee you a right to a particular location unless you choose to, but it doesn't require one. So if you get a family that wants to go to a baptism with the minister and the sponsors and whatever, then they can go down to the river and do whatever they want without being required to get any kind of permit. And so if that works for the board, you can do that. Or if you want to pick a number that's slightly bigger than that, I think you can.
I would put no number on it because the parks are for events. The only thing that we would offer instead would be the option for them to obtain a permit for exclusivity. Otherwise,
guaranteed use.
Have at it.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then we probably should make some change to the code because the language, I think, is a little bit stronger than that, and we can fix that, but I'm just providing a middle ground. So if you want to, in for the immediate present, to provide this guideline for Heath, mm-hmm. that at least gives you a path forward, and then in the meantime, we can update this and make it voluntary.
Yep.
Now, at some point, the board may choose to say that if a group is big enough that you want them to have a permit just because of their impact on the park. Now, that's your call. I'm not saying one way or the other, but you may find that there are times when you're going to say, wait a minute, this is not what we contemplated. This is too many. You should have a permit to have this many people here. So you want to think about that before you say any number is okay.
Mr. Bynes.
Quick question, Mr. Chairman. Tourist people, Kim Bennett, with the tourist people, are requesting to modify the county parks code or whatever is necessary so that they can have wine, beer, alcoholic beverages at these functions because they say that they do it over in Oregon and they're getting all kinds of business, all kinds of big groups using their parks over there. Where it would make more just like using Esther Short Park down there if you allowed them to do it to Lower River Road at those parks down there. So I don't know where that stands, if they currently can do that or if the county code has to be changed in order to allow people to have beverages and stuff.
I don't know. I didn't look at that before I came to this meeting. My memory is sort of that you can't.
Well, let's just
alcohol.
Throw that up, and you can look it up.
Sure.
And we'll
I will.
Take a look at that.
Sure.
I believe there was language in the code. I don't see it right off that allowed them to have a sip of wine for a toast, like at a wedding, or a communion.
Anyway,
but beyond that, it didn't allow a permit for alcohol.
They would like to open it up to county parks, just like they do at Esther Short Park. Or
we have been getting more and more requests.
Yeah.
I would suggest, though, that before I'm open to considering that. I don't drink alcohol, but I respect people's freedom to do so. rather than try to wrap that into this, I would say let's simplify what's obvious here. And if that's a issue you want to be able to bring forward as a second step, then we can entertain just simply the pluses and minuses of it. That's not an endorsement. It's not an encouragement. It's just in process, next step.
Right. So, anyway, that's was their request, and so I just brought that up. So.
And thank you, Chris. If there be anything that needs to be changed in our ordinance in order to reflect the freedom of the people to use the parks, then please bring that forward as soon as possible.
Okay. I'm glad to do that. And you want to open it up so there's not a limit on the number of people at all.
Well, I would think that'd be the case, but I hadn't thought it through that much. Have we got any reports of that kind of problem happening?
I have heard some reports, depending on if you get a really large group, I mean, depending on what they're serving, you might have a lot of extra, garbage and used stuff to take care of afterwards. So there may be more work, depending on the size of the group and the type of event, than other groups. It just varies.
And how regular, where I've seen it be an issue before is if it's a large group that does a particular activity, let's say they got 50 to 100 people every Saturday. And so then the other users of the park, it's like, man, every Saturday this group basically is taking it over. That's the other scenario I've seen where, right, you get one big group that's just kind of always using the entire park at a particular time.
Part of this also is educating, communicating with them. We have our parks ambassadors out there who can communicate with them and help them to understand that that don't abuse the privilege and the freedom. If you're going to use the park with a big group, that the ambassadors would share with them and hopefully get them to be able to use the last thing they do before they go home, go clean up. If you're out there for having fun, you can be out there for cleaning up your mess at the end too. It's just part of communicating that message. Maybe they just never think, we're all done, we all go home. I would hate to put a hard limit on it for some exception that we could have covered with better communication voluntarily.
We can get some more information on that to see if there's kind of a range that we see more work versus less, or if there's any correlation.
Yes, if there is a significant specified problem to solve that says beyond this condition we really ought to have something there, then let us know. Okay.
Well, it's just like a building capacity. If it says you can only have 120 people there and the fire department shows up, runs you out. I know at Louisville Park they used to have a sign when the park got the certain capacity of people, they put a sign up that no more people could get in there.
Do we have enough parking at our parks? And picnic tables and spaces?
I haven't heard an issue with parking.
No, but it used to be that way.
Can you find out from our Parks Advisory Board? I assume that the Parks Advisory Board, not only are they getting together to be able to talk amongst themselves, but they stay in close communication and they're asking the park ambassadors for interviews and gain the insight from them. And this would be these kind of questions would be included in that. Because those park ambassadors, they're out there, and nobody knows the parks and what works well and what problems need to be addressed than the park ambassadors, I would expect. So please encourage them to include that process. Is that good? Okay. What's next?
In your packet there was a work session request. From Don Benton, just like guidance on whether to schedule that work session.
Okay. 30 minutes? Sure. I think that...
Wetland protection ordinance?
Yep. Okay, sure.
Okay, good.
That's fine.
All right, and Commissioner Communications, quickly?
Commissioner Barnes?
When you talk about a work session, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to suggest, I've heard some good feedback from various different people that attended a work session with the City of Vancouver. I would like to see us invite Mike Bomar and economic development people to come in for a work session and tell us what economic development's doing and how they're working, that is helping create jobs in the county that basically come back to benefit what we're doing here as far as creating jobs in the county, and see just exactly what they're doing with their program. And I understand that Mike made a heck of a, as a new person in that position in the last year and a half, has made several major changes, and I would like to see a work session with the economic development people come in, give them an hour to make a presentation, 45 minutes to an hour, and tell us just exactly everything that they're doing and the businesses that they're bringing into the county.
Why don't we do this ahead of that? our own economic development champion here, Jeff Swanson. That's his baby.
Yeah, and I've talked about Jeff, and he thinks it's a great idea.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
We also related to that. Also, we have any organization that wants to share that common goal, whether it be chambers of commerce, the ports, whatever can help us to share that goal. We all share that responsibility, not just the CREDC.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to see that kind of planning and collaboration ahead of time, so that there is a more of a
well, maybe we could invite them in one at a time.
Well, what I'm thinking is that one at a time is one at a time silos, and that I want to break down the silos and make sure that we have a team working together with a vision and knowing how each of us can advance the whole county forward.
In the case of economic development, you got everybody, you got the port sitting there, you got the city sitting there, you got us on the county sitting there, you got every different aspect of the various people that you're talking about are on that Economic Development Council, David.
I'm open to the idea. Why don't we start with this? Because you sit on the CREDC board,
yep.
So you're very tuned in.
Yep.
I would love to be able to, let me make an appointment and one-on-one with Mike Bomar. He's a great leader there. I'm glad to see that happen.
Okay.
And get up to speed so I have more of a vision that he can help me understand,
yeah.
And also to make sure we have inclusiveness of the other players, that knowing what each one can do to move the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like I say, he made a great presentation, I think it's worthwhile that people understand that there is other organizations that are working towards creating jobs in Clark County that are actually benefiting the county a lot of different ways with tax revenue and things. So, and the other thing is next week when Tom gets back, we're gonna do the thing with the resolutions, right?
Where we set the direction last week is that we would introduce the community collaboration resolution, which is common to anything we do. I said, it doesn't matter what it is, because that's not project specific. It's relationship specific. The plan is for that what we decided at the last board time is that will be, as we introduced it yesterday, that and just give a heads up on it without acting. We'll bring that one forward for Tuesday. But I want to make sure that I pay attention to what you have, and thank you for the copy of the resolution that you're proposing, a thank you resolution. And so I haven't had a chance to go through that yet, but I wanted to go. So give me a chance to collaborate with you.
You've had a month and a half and you haven't had a chance to look through it, David? You know that's not true.
Actually,
you know that's
I've been
not
a busy
true.
Boy.
You want to make corrections to it, and I don't want to make corrections to yours.
Why not?
I'm receptive to doing it, but both of us should be going down the route, and I just think that this is not right, because sitting in on this meeting the last work session when Tom was here was that we were going to, both of them are going to be discussed when he was here, and then we'd go forward with them, and I don't see any vote in the minutes there where it says that yours goes first or mine goes first or whatever. This is not, as far as I'm concerned, it's not right, and I just don't want to have to go another direction in order to get my resolution out to the public, and basically saying that David Bedore is the only one that could write a resolution as a county commissioner and get it on the agenda, be submitted out to the public. That's not what I'm about, David. And you sat right across the table where Mark is sitting, and you told me that people trust me, you trust me. You give him two changes that you wanted to make in my resolution. Everything else you said was fine. I went and looked at the resolutions, the things you wanted, adding the by state part to the resolution, the fifth section. I looked at that, and it did not fit anywhere in my resolution. I suggested you to write your own resolution on by state, which you did. I don't want to interfere with what your resolution did. I looked at it the whole weekend several different times, and as far as I'm concerned, I am happy with the way the resolution was written up, and I'm also happy the way my resolution is written up, and I don't want to say that we're not going to work hand in hand when we're trying to create an atmosphere of where we need to get all these people on board if we're going to do anything with transportation. And like I say, you sat right there and told me that you trusted me, you were honest with me, and that everything in the resolution was great except these two things. And then you come back and you added another little thing with some people's names on it, and I looked at that and I told you that it wasn't going to work. So you wrote up your resolution, and I don't think it's correct or fair to tell me that face-to-face like a good Christian. That's a little bit hypocritical, David. It's really hypocritical. And like I say, I think that that both these resolutions should go out at the same time and let the public know just exactly how we feel, that we're working together, that we want all these people to forget about what's happened in the past. This the thank you resolution is thanking the people that worked for 17 years out there to get something done, whether it got done or not. It's very important that those people get a thank you, just the same as it is for me to sign my name on your resolution saying that I support your bi-state resolution. I don't think it's fair or correct, David, that this is the way we're going. And we need to wait till the chairman gets here and take these things out jointly together. If you want to today vote to put my resolution out, yours out next week, put it on this consent agenda, I'm all 100% in favor of that. Otherwise, then I got to go a different route. That's the way it is. So, anyway.
The correction to the minutes is in the works, so that we'll go back and find out what was communicated, so we'll make sure that we're on the same wavelength there. That's going to happen. We'll bring that back. The second part here is that resolution, the community collaboration resolution, for you to participate and make that better, that's not interference. That's collaboration. And I invite you to make it better and to participate. That's our resolution.
No, I've looked your resolution over, the bi-state resolution, and I've looked it over, and it meets what I think needs to be said to people in between Oregon and Washington, just the same way as my resolution is saying what it needs to be said to all these individuals that you need to have on your side to get anything accomplished with the East County Bridge. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So like I say, I read the thing over several different times. I went to sleep, got back up and read it the next day.
Wow, that's dedication.
The next day, and I didn't see any place that I was going to take and put a red line in there or try to redo David Bedore's resolution on the bi-state stuff. So I don't think that you should try to do any corrections on mine. So, and I'm in agreement. I'll sign your resolution, but you're going to have to sign up on mine, too.
Okay. There's a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is that this is my resolution. It's not. If this is my resolution, message.
But you put it together. Let's put it that way. It's a resolution you put together, and I'm willing, David, I'm willing to go on board for that bi-state resolution without me making a mark on it, other than put my signature on it.
That's not the intent of the resolution. That is actually describing the problem that the resolution is trying to solve. Hear me out. That any project that we do, if we play a turf war, this is my turf, your turf, we're already on the wrong foundation. This is our resolution. And I put it out there as a draft, and it is, you take ownership as much as you want. I am absolutely inviting and asking you to do, there must be a way you can make it better.
Yep.
And so
I couldn't even see a place to cross a T or dot an I that would make anything different in your resolution.
Well,
I'm being honest with you.
Well, that means that it's not mine. It means that you share the same vision and the same goals.
Yes.
And if it doesn't invite you to change it, you have the word version of it, right?
Right. And my resolution basically is no different than yours. It's saying the same thing to people for 17 years. Thank you very much for what you did for this region in trying to get something accomplished, and that whether it got accomplished or not. And it's no different. And for me to try to put names of people that went out there to trash what these people did, these 500 people did over the last 17 years, is no different than the people who want to put something on your Facebook or something on that criticize you or tears down what David Bedore's doing. And what you do, you strike them off of there. You don't allow them to participate on it. So I cannot justify in my mind to put something down or somebody's name on a resolution, but I know full well that everybody that looks at that resolution, if it was passed, would think that Ed Barnes needs to jump in the toilet and somebody needs to flush it. That's the way I feel. Okay?
Is there any other? It looks like you're ready to leave. If you leave, we don't have a quorum anymore. Is there anything left you wanted to do that needs to be taken care of before?
No, sir.
Okay.
I got to be in Longview tomorrow.
All right.
In 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, then.
Representing the Kelly.
So I'll call the State Patrol and let them know you're going to be speaking.
Okay. Is there anybody else that needs anything pressing? Okay.
Oh, look who's here.
Well, then I guess that wraps up our meeting, right? Because we need a quorum to continue.
Pretty much,
right?
Yeah. It's called board time because the board has to be present.
Yes, okay. All right. Then we're adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
One point of interest, just
yeah.
to the board, the hearing on the